Hey, Fresno, what time is it?
It's time to Stir It Up!
Welcome to Stir It Up, a weekly program produced by a collective of local activist organizations in Fresno. Please join us as we educate, agitate, and pontificate.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Stir It Up. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls. And today we're going to talk about free speech in Fresno and a recurring problem we have with the city of Fresno. There's been incidents of the city not recognizing the free speech of us folks here. And the most recent is a situation that's come up with the Building Healthy Communities campaign. And we have in our studio Sandra Celadon Castro from Fresno Building Healthy Communities. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
And we're also going to be talking with Sandra Isle, who's also a member of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, about a similar situation that happened in the past. And yours truly, I am going to talk a little bit about some bus ads that we put on the city buses for the effort to be in solidarity with the people of El Salvador earlier, and then we will also be hearing from Howard Watkins and other WELF members. So we're going to start with Sandra Celadon Castro. Tell us, what the heck is going on right now?
Well, it's actually really interesting. Fresno Building Healthy Communities purchased and paid for bus ads, bus wraps to run for the entire month of, for 4 weeks, the last couple of weeks in May and then into June. And the ad is an educational component of our Parks for All initiative, which is really just about highlighting the disparity in parks in Fresno between North and South Fresno. And the ad has a young girl. Half of the ad is black and white, half of the ad is in color. The black and white has this statistic of South Fresno, and it has the 93706 zip code, which says there's about 1 acre of park space per 1,000 residents in South Fresno, compared to nearly five times that amount in North Fresno. And then it has our tagline at the bottom, which reads, your zip code shouldn't predict how long you'll live, but it does, because where we live impacts or affects how we live. Staying healthy requires much more than diets and doctors. We need one healthy Fresno with better parks for all. And then it links folks to our website. And so we paid for these ads. They were actually printed and about to go on the bus when apparently, it's our understanding, somebody at the city said, hold on, we can't put these on the bus. And they pulled back our ad. And then they told us that it was being denied because it was deemed too political. That was all of the information that the city of Fresno
I love they put that too.
Yeah, it was too political. Yeah, it was not that it was political. It was too political.
Right.
And so they pulled our ads. They did not allow us to purchase to go through with the contract. Uh-huh. That was it. And so that was a couple of weeks ago when we found this out. And we've since asked the city to clarify exactly what part of our ad is considered too political.
Or what does that even
or
mean?
What does that even mean? Because one, it's not a political ad. It's an educational campaign. And in fact, it's highlighting information that is found in the city's general plan. And so today, this morning, we actually sent in a public records request. Central California Legal Services is now helping us because we want to get clear information about what the city deemed too political about this ad. What process do they use? And what other ads have they allowed to run in the last 2 years? And what other ads have they prevented folks from seeing? Because we feel that, you know, as much as we support Parks for All, and we certainly do, we also support freedom of speech, and we also support folks having up-to-date information about their city and the place where they live so that they can engage in meaningful discussions with their neighbors, their friends, their decision makers. And so we feel that it's very important for folks to have this information in this public forum.
Do we know, who actually conveyed the rejection? Do we know who the decision maker is around this?
Well, that's part of the challenge. We're trying to figure out exactly who at the city made the decision. We are working with their vendor, which is Lamar. who takes care of all of their contracts and has the exclusive contract with the city of Fresno to enter into these purchasing agreements. And so, again, it was all done, said and done. They cashed the check. They printed the wraps. It was going to go on the bus. And all of a sudden, somebody at the city said, nope, they're not going to go. We're not going to do this. And so that's part of the Public Records Act, public records request that we made this morning, is we'd like to know who at the city made that decision and what did they use to come to this decision. What exactly is their criteria?
Right, right. All right. Well, yeah, and of course, in my day job, I work for the American Civil Liberties Union. So very, very interesting, in terms of, you know, how they're making these decisions, and kind of have heard from a lawyer or two that you can't reject something based on content.
Right. Exactly. I mean, yeah. It's not political. It's not a political ad at all.
Well, and so what if it was?
Right. I mean, if it was, then what is too political? Where's the threshold for it being too political? But the fact of the matter is that how can the city's facts be deemed political? The city, in essence, by saying that our ad is too political, is saying that their general plan document, which is publicly available, is also too political. And I think I find it a little hypocritical that the city has said that they welcome and they support public engagement and land use decisions, but yet they don't want people to have up-to-date information about land use in our city and the fact that we have used land in South Fresno for other purposes that does not include parks, which has led to this park shortage and this huge disparity between North and South Fresno.
All right. And we also have Sandra Isle, and this isn't the first time this has come up, right? So tell us about, what has happened with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom around this issue. Yes.
Hi, Pam, and hello, Sandra.
Hi.
As soon as I read about it in the paper, it just was like deja vu, because this is exactly what we went through. And the interesting thing was that they did not say our ad was political as a reason to tear it down. They said it was controversial. That's what New Farmer said. Mm-hmm. And anyway, what our ad was, at the end of the Vietnam War, draft registration was discontinued by President Ford, but then President Carter wanted to reinstate the draft, and this was during peacetime. We didn't think that was appropriate. So we had ads that were printed by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. They showed soldiers in uniform with the question, why is this the only job our government has to offer 19 to 20-year-olds? Think before you register for the draft. Well, the Fresno Bee published our intent and showed a picture of the placard. The very next day, the city of Fresno then ordered the placards removed because especially veterans organizations were up in arms saying that we were urging young people to break the law. They said, think means don't. And if you tell someone think before you register, you're telling them not to register. So we took it to court. We sued the city of Fresno. And Judge Creed made a final ruling, which was a year and a half later. And this is what the Fresno Bee article said. He says that the city ordinance prohibiting political advertising is not valid, inasmuch as the city permits other kinds of advertising on its buses. So he was basically saying you cannot deny an ad, whether it's political or not political. So when I read about your situation of the Healthy Families Initiative, this is really wrong, and we need to remember our history so that these mistakes don't happen again.
Okay, and I just want to add a little thing here also, because I had an incident of this myself when I was working around issues with the war in Central America. I was a member of the Latin American Support Committee, and pretty close to around the time that this incident happened with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, we had a campaign to, stop U.S. military aid to the different governments, particularly El Salvador and Guatemala, and then the Conchos, which were, of course, fighting against the Sandinista government in Nicaragua. So we had a sign, and I have a picture of it here, which you can't see, but it basically has a dove on top of a rifle, and it says, no Vietnam in El Salvador. That was one in the days when people could still remember the Vietnam War. We had kind of us. Everybody seems to have kind of a similar situation. Is that we, you know, we got the signs, everybody agreed, and then we had a situation where the actual ad agency said, "No, we can't put this up because I don't even remember what their reasoning was exactly." But they decided that it's. They were told that acceptance of your order does not appear to our in our best interest and is therefore declined. It wasn't in the best interest of the ad agency. So at any rate, we wound up taking this to the city council. And the many times that we packed the city council room there. And we were actually able at that time to get a 7-0 vote from the city council overriding the decision of the of the ad agency, and told that, and the ad agency was told, basically, you know, your contract's up in a month. If you want it renewed, you better do what we say. So we actually had, you know, quite a bit of support on the city council, for free speech and possibly even for not having, sending a lot of military aid to Central America at that time. So this is kind of a recurring thing. It mm-hmm. comes up a lot. So at any rate, we're unfortunately, you know, underlines what Sandra Isle is saying, is that, you know, we have to have that kind of memory, you know, in our community, so that, you know, we're better prepared to be able to deal with these kinds of situations that come up again and again, because, the First Amendment is something that we've learned we have to continue to defend, you know, all the time. It's not something that is just like, oh, yes, this is yours, here's a gift. It's something that we have to fight for. So what I want to do right now is turn to, we do have a previously recorded statement from Howard Watkins, who's also a member of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And some folks may know Howard. He takes pictures at all kinds of social and political events. And he was also involved with this, and he has a good memory of what exactly the legal points were.
I'm talking to Howard Watkins, who is a retired attorney in Fresno. He was very involved with the bus placard case in the late 70s and knows about the legal ins and outs of it. Howard, can you explain to me what happened legally in that case?
Sure. When Wolf got the bus placards up, veterans opposed it and became outraged, and the city manager had them torn down. Wolf met with it about it, and we went to the city council, and on a 4-3 vote, with Dan Whitehurst, the mayor at the time, I believe, casting the deciding vote to uphold the city manager's action. So then it required court action, and Wolf got a pro bono attorney, local attorney, to take the case to trial. It was heard in front of Judge Frank Creed, a distinguished judge. And unfortunately, for Wolf, the city found a professor, I think at Reedley College, who testified that word-wise, when you say think before doing something in this context, it really means don't. And that really wasn't countered, as best I could tell, from the evidence of trial. And the judge made a factual finding that based on the evidence before him, the placards basically advocated do not register for the draft. That's advocating criminal activity. Therefore, it was not protected free speech. And he denied the Wolf injunction. ACLU then in San Francisco then came into the case on behalf of Wolf with a pro bono attorney from San Francisco who argued at the Court of Appeal here, the Fifth District. And ultimately, the Fifth District held, based on a recent case that had just come down before our argument, that inside a bus, the passengers are a captive audience. That was the key phrase, captive audience. And in the precedent, it was a boombox, and they were barring loud sound. Anyway, the appellate court said, well, this is a captive audience, so the city has discretion and could tear it down. That was then petitioned to the Supreme Court, who granted review. Unfortunately, that was the time that conservatives pushed for the recall of Chief Justice Rose Byrd, Justice Cruz Reynoso, and Joe Grodin, ostensibly on the grounds that they were opposed to the death penalty. But I think most of that recall effort was funded by the insurance industry that wanted people less sympathetic to consumers. Anyway, bottom line is they were recalled, and oral argument was the week after the recall, so all oral argument went off calendar. Ultimately, three new justices were appointed by the Republican governor, and then they took a look at the case and they said, we don't need to hear it, kicked it back to the Court of Appeal, who kicked it back to trial court for entry of final judgment. And as I recall, Judge Creed made two key findings. One, that the ordinance banning political ads was unconstitutional, and two, since this ad, he found, advocated criminal conduct, they could take down the Wilf bus placard ad. The amazing thing about all this is that even though Wilf ultimately lost everything legally, we had a press conference at every stage announcing that we're going to the counseling, announcing that we're going to file a lawsuit, the announcement when we file the lawsuit, the announcement when we're going to trial. And there's at least five, probably over 10 separate times we had press conferences. We even had a press event of carrying the placards on the bus from Courthouse Park to the old city hall. So we actually had them on the bus, legal. And that had to be worth at least $50,000. The publicity that went to hundreds of thousands of people, because back then, all the local TV news stations carried news events, not just one or two, typically, as it is now with cutbacks. So it was an amazing trip. It lasted 3 years plus. One of the things, since the city won ultimately on being able to tear it down, the placards, take them off the bus, we got them to waive their court costs, because that would have been several thousand dollars against Wilf. Amazing time. Wilf stood up for it. And in the current case, I think the city's in weak position to deny these bus ads. They're not advocating a candidate. They're not advocating one way or another on the ballot proposition. You can say it's controversial, but corporate ads could be considered controversial for some people. And when it comes to free speech, there's a very high burden on the city. I can see they may not want it on the bus. That's a different issue than whether they can legally prohibit it.
Great. Thank you, Howard, for that very interesting historical perspective.
Okay, and you listen to KFCF Fresno, 88.1, and we're talking to Sandra Celadon Castro and Sandra Isle. And so why don't we just kind of step back a minute, and I mean, obviously, Howard's comments are, you know, make lemonade when you got lemons, right? So that's obviously a great thing, and I'm sure you folks are working on that angle. But why don't we talk a little bit about, for a minute, what's the impact on our communities, the fact that, you know, that we don't have the space. I know, I just feel so sad, you know, whenever I go by a school and it's all fenced in and it's got these huge, fences on it, and then there's nowhere for kids to go and play, you know, play basketball or, you know, fly a kite or do anything. And here is all this incredible green space that we do have that's being enclosed, fenced off, and taken out of use by the public.
Exactly. And that's part of the challenge, right? And that's part of the conversation that we want our city to have. And we know that having access to parks not only improves your health, right? We know that if you live near a park, if you have a park nearby, you're more likely to engage in physical activity, which then contributes to your overall health, right? We know that there's a high incidence of obesity in Fresno. And so having access to a park will make you more likely to exercise. Right. And so you therefore will impact your weight, and it'll impact just how you feel, not just physical, but also emotional and mental, right? We know that people who have access to green space are going to have lower levels of stress and anxiety and all of these other negative things that we really don't want to have. And of course, parks also boost property values. We know that homes near parks, their value increases by at least 15% or more. And so parks are overall just a good thing to have. Green space is overall a good thing to have. We know that when we expose young people to green space, it also improves their education because it actually improves their analytical thinking skills. There's research that shows that if you expose young people to green space, to nature, they're going to do better in math and science. So there's all of these advantages to having park space. And Fresno, time and time again, has been ranked as the last place for parks based on the Trust for Public Land. They put out a annual park score, what they call their park score. And they've done this since 2012. And consistently since 2012, Fresno has ranked last in parks, not just on the availability of parks, but also in how much money we actually spend on parks per person. Fresno, time and time again, has been at the bottom of that list, and it's really unfortunate that we don't want to have this conversation about parks and how do we create more and better parks in Fresno. So there's a huge health implication. Fresno Building Healthy Communities, at the end of the day, we are a health focused coalition. This is part of why we wanted to have this information readily available for folks, because this is really a health discussion. It's a health discussion about individual health and community health. And we need to be able to have access to park space. So one of the things that we are proposing is updating the 1989 Parks Master Plan. The city has not updated the Parks Master Plan since 1989, and in fact hasn't even followed the 1989 Parks Master Plan, which has contributed to the fact that we do not have enough parks in south of Fresno. So one of the things that we can do now, that the city could easily do now, is update that Parks Master Plan so that we can start strategizing about how do we create more green space. And to your point, how do we open up, how do we enter into an agreement with Fresno Unified School District and other school districts to open up schools so that folks are able to enjoy that green space when school is not in session, which has been an idea that Fresno Building Healthy Communities and other folks in the community have presented and have started to talk about. And it's actually been done in Fresno in the past. So how do we do something like that and make it work? And we believe at Fresno Building Healthy Communities that updating our Parks Master Plan is the first step to be able to have a meaningful discussion about what do we need to do, what actions do we need to take now, and what do we plan for the long run to improve our park situation in Fresno.
Okay, and I want to give Sandra Isle a chance, just kind of from a long view here, what kind of, advice maybe you could give folks who are working on issues now. We have kind of a whole new generation of folks coming in and, you know, organizing a lot around community issues about, you know, how to deal with these kinds of issues.
Well, I think it's wonderful. When I first saw your ad in the Fresno Bee, I was just impressed that, you know, people are doing this, because my son used to live in Antioch, and from where he lived, there were at least four parks within 2 miles of him. I mean, it was just amazing. And you come to Fresno, and there might be one park, you know, blocks and blocks away, and it's just not right. And I think it's important that people talk about this issue. And then in terms of advertising on the city buses, lots of people can see those things who may not read the Fresno Bee like I do, or get their news in other ways. So I'm glad that you're fighting for this issue. And I'd like to hear about your next steps with the city on this issue. And job well done.
Thank you. Well, definitely. I mean, our immediate next step is really to try to get some clarity from the city as to, you know, again, we know that they've done this before. And so we really want to know is what do you use as criteria to determine whether an ad is or isn't too political or political in nature or controversial? Because that's another word that they've thrown at us. Oh, it's too controversial.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess I just have to say, you know, I mean, that the First Amendment doesn't say you have free speech as long as you have free speech as long as it's not controversial, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't say that, and it doesn't. And I mean, the whole point of free speech is precisely to petition our government. I mean, that's the context that it's in, which to me this seems so apropos, right? We don't have just have free speech to sell gadgets. We have free speech to self-govern, right?
Right, right. And so that's really our immediate next step is we're definitely not taking any options off the table. We're considering all of our options at the moment because, again, we believe in having one healthy Fresno for everyone, not just for folks in South Fresno or North Fresno or West Fresno or East Fresno, but for everyone. And part of that, part of having a healthy Fresno is also having a healthy system of government that allows for folks to engage in democracy and that also allows folks to enjoy the rights that are guaranteed to them by the Constitution. So it's definitely for us two separate issues, right? One is the issue of freedom of speech and making sure that there isn't censorship and that our city doesn't promote censorship. And then there's also the issue of how do we create more and better parks for everyone. And so we definitely are committed to continuing this conversation and continuing to fight to make sure that everyone's voice is heard in our city.
Right. And what's the next? What are the next steps?
So right now, as I mentioned, we just mailed out a letter today, a Public Records Act request to the letter to the city, asking them for specific details about their decision making process in regards to advertisements on city buses. And we've also asked for them to keep the money because they have not issued us a refund yet. And so we're saying keep the money and run the ad. The easiest solution right now is we want you to run this ad. We want folks to see it. And that was actually the intent of putting it on buses. We wanted to make sure that people throughout the city would be able to see this information. And so the buses that we purchased the ad on, they were going to run north and south, east and west. And so that maximized the number of people in all of Fresno that would be able to see the ad. So you don't have to drive through a specific location where there's a billboard or read a specific newspaper or just one specific format. We wanted to have a mobile form of getting information out to everyone. So that was really the intent behind us purchasing these bus wraps. And so the first call for the city is to keep our money, keep Fresno BHC's money, run the ad, and don't censorship public information and freedom of speech. And then the second is we definitely want to have a robust discussion, an engaged discussion about how do we improve our park system here in Fresno. And so, again, we're going through the motions, but we're definitely looking at all options.
So how can folks help out or contact you?
So we invite folks to visit our website. We're at fresnobhc.org. They can you can see our Parks for All tab, which has the ad and all kinds of information about parks in Fresno. And we also invite folks to like our Facebook page and sign up for our newsletter to stay up to date on all of the activities that we are engaged in, not just around parks, but around other health initiatives in our city. And we invite folks to join our coalition. Again, we are a coalition of residents and nonprofits and faith-based organizations. And so the more, the merrier. We definitely want folks to join our efforts and help us create one healthy Fresno for everyone.
Okay, great. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Sandra Isle.
Well, thank you for having me, Pam. And I wish you luck on your ad campaign. I think the city of Fresno needs to learn its lessons from the past and stand up for free speech.
Okay, thank you very much. You've been listening to the Stir It Up show. We're on every week. Different organizations are on, and I'm your host, Pam Whalen, and Mike Rhodes is on the controls. You're listening to KFCF Fresno 88.1, and we're going to take you on back to KPFA.
Mayor hides the crime rates, councilwoman hesitates, public gets irate, but forgets the vote dates, weatherman complaining, predicted sun it's raining, everyone's protesting, boyfriend keeps suggesting, you're not like all of the rest, garbage ain't collected, women ain't protected, politicians using, people they're abusing, the mafia's getting bigger, like pollution in the river, and you tell me that this is where it's at.
Woke out this morning with an ache in my head. I splashed on my clothes as I spilled out of bed. I opened the window to listen to the news, but all I heard was the establishment's blues. Gun sales are soaring, housewives find life boring, divorce the only answer, smoking causes cancer, this system's gonna fall soon to an angry young tune, and that's a concrete co-fact. The Pope digs population, freedom from taxation, teeny bops are uptight, drinking at a stoplight, miniskirt is flirting, I can't stop so I'm hurting. Spencer sells her hopeless chest.